release an awareness of the grace of God, first of all, for us to be here on Father's Day. And yesterday I had the privilege of going to New Jersey to be with our brother who lost his mother, Dr. Bob Trump. Got to meet his two other brothers and his sister. Was blessed. And had a marvelous time at the service and watched God have a wonderful field day with this man of God. Got to meet some of his family and was truly blessed. I also believe that God is wanting us to begin to understand the Father's love. So if you'll bow your heads with me. Father God, I ask that you would release the grace to be able to release your love, not only through the words that you've given me this morning, but by anointing them by your Spirit. Because without the anointing, the yoke stays unbroken. But when the anointing is there, the yoke will be broken. I believe it by faith in Jesus' name. This morning, as I was searching the heart of the Lord, I even began yesterday on my drive home. And I kept asking, Lord, how do we see your heart? And this morning I was reminded that Philip, in John chapter 14, verse 7, verse 8, actually. If you want to look at it, it's up to you, but basically Philip is really wanting to see the Father. And the Lord is really reminding him, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, if you look at my sons, and I have two, and I have two grandsons, is my heart visible in them? So I would say to you, fathers, is the heart of love that you have being portrayed to your sons and daughters? Or is it a heart that's filled with self instead of selflessness? See, in John, it says, God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. And I could go on and give you all kinds of scriptures to show you God's love towards you and me. And what happens is this. When I don't see the love flow coming through my children, I go on a blame game. Am I alone? If I'm not alone, put your hand up. Now, if I remember correctly, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are. So who are you listening to when you bring claim to and lay claim to not doing it right? The spirit of Antichrist. I'm glad you said it. Anti-anointing. You're cutting yourself off by critical words, critical thoughts, which are based in pride. And yes, it's not all about you. It's all about him being formed in you. Are you under construction? Yeah, if you are, then you're going to make mistakes and you're going to need to forgive yourself. So again, I was looking and I said, Lord, how could they see you? And he impressed me to go to the Word. And he said, if you look at the beginning of my ministry, you're going to see my hand. You're going to see the heart of the Father. So I want to go with you in Matthew chapter 9. Okay? Now, if you look at verse 1, it says, Matthew chapter 9, verse 1, I'm using the Amplified because it brings a little extra oomph to some of the words. Now remember, Jesus is going to be visibly showing the Father's heart to see if they're catching on. Okay? Verse 1, and Jesus, getting into a boat, crossed to the other side and came to his own town, Capernaum. And behold, they brought to him a man paralyzed and prostrated by illness, lying on a sleeping pad. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, take courage, son. Who's speaking? The Father speaking. The Father is speaking through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ doesn't have any physical sons. But he has spiritual sons through the power of the Holy Ghost within him. Amen? Take courage, son. Could be daughter. Your sins are forgiven and the penalty remitted. That is in the Thayer translation. They add the words, and the penalty remitted. If I had stolen a couple of million dollars from you and I remitted, how much would I have to remit? A couple of million. The entire amount. Amen? Why am I saying this to you? I'm trying to get you to see the Father inside the Son. It goes on. Behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man blasphemes. He claims the rights and prerogatives of God. Are they aware that God the Father is inside his Son, Jesus Christ? Are they looking for the Father? No. They're not looking for the Father. But Jesus, knowing, seeing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil and harbor malice in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven and the penalty remitted, or say, get up and walk? And in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins and to remit the penalty, he then said to the paralyzed man, get up. Pick up your sleeping pad and go to your own house. And he got up and went away to his house, to his own house. And when the crowd saw it, they were struck with fear and awe, and they recognized God. Ah. So the crowd got a clue, but the hierarchy got critical. What were they looking at? Is he doing it the right way? Is he doing it the legal way? Is he doing it our way? And if he didn't go to our schools, therefore he doesn't what? He doesn't know what he's doing. Right. So we're not accepting him as the Messiah. He's not doing it my way. Verse 8 is very important. When the crowd saw it, they were struck with fear and awe. The fear of God was in them. They saw, my God, look at this. The penalty for sin is erased. And the byproduct is liberty. He can now He can now walk. He can go home and enjoy his family. That's the Father's heart. And they recognized God and praised and thanked him, who had given such power and authority to women only. Well, he gave it to women and men. I could go in that vein and I could start telling you how the division forces of the enemy have brought men against women and women against men, and therefore this is Father's Day, so we wouldn't qualify. We're not quite. Listen, up front and out loud, whether you're a man or a woman, Father's Day is your day. Because you have the same heart of the Father God inside of you as I do. And when you give out the Father's love and the Father's forgiveness and the Father's compassion to erase the sin and the penalty thereof, you don't hold a grudge against your own. And you stop the criticalness of all this fault finding that has kept the church in what? In what? Division and bondage. Division and bondage. It's sickening when I see the church falling on its knees and crying out for the salvation of others when they're not saved themselves. It's pretty bad. I don't want to be like some church people. Because as far as I'm concerned, they're not in love. They're in love with themselves, serving themselves, and unless I do it their way, I'm not acceptable. And you say, well, what are you doing? Criticizing? Yes, I am. I'm giving you the facts. Jesus came for all. Didn't come just for some. He didn't come for the ones that were perfect. He came for the ones that were hurting. He came to save and deliver spirit, soul, and body. All three aspects of you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Check it out. And Jesus passed on from there, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's office. And he said to him, be my disciple. Now, how many of you have seen the movie Godfathers? If you saw it, put your hand up. I can tell you this. The young Godfather would be Matthew. He's probably got quite a few other tax collectors because that's how you got the position. You bought it. And you could charge whatever you wanted, and you kept the rest. So Matthew would be a godfather of today in the mafia that you understand to be negative. And it was negative. But it worked for Rome. How many know one hand feeds the other? And I'll tell you, I was in the Middle East, and I saw that. I saw it with my own eyes. The graft, the undertow, the monies that had to be given, that we had to pay in order to slice off the top a little extra so we could get into different places. And I remember my rabbi friend wanting to just reject, and he did. He refused to give him any more money. I'm not giving them a nickel, he says. I'm not going. You can take them, meaning me. And I did. We went to Jordan, and we fattened up their wallets, and we let them use us in order to what? Accomplish what we had in our hearts to do, was to obey what God has asked us to do. So there are times that you're going to give a little graft. You know why? Because Jesus is in charge of even those that are in the mafia. Yeah. How many saw the trial results of the mayor of the city of Chicopee, where we are right now? How many saw it in the news? Okay, you saw it. What we should be doing as believers is interceding for that man, not criticizing where he's been, because Jesus said, follow me, to Matthew, of the same type. You understand? Mafia leaders are no exception. They have all got a heart to do what they like, to do it their way, and to get the benefits in their pocket. And if there's a few that die on the way,
big deal.
How many people have you killed in your own heart? How many would like to see a few people dead so that you could have a little more freedom? So you see, the attitude of the heart is what God looks at. It's not how many bullets you shot. Okay? And yes, am I talking about the Father's heart being formed in Matthew? Yes, I am. I had a person in my life just a few days ago go through a big test. And I know, because of the word of knowledge that came, that it was because of some witchcraft. And my first response, when they make the comment, oh, well, the only good witch is a dead witch. And I said, no, the only good witch is a saved witch. Why don't you pray for their salvation instead of praying for their death? And maybe then things will turn around. Instead of being so critical, try to be filled with compassion and the Father's heart will be formed in you. And so we began to repent for those who had done the ugly things of whatever they were. And yes, the fruits were negative. But you know what? You can be higher than that. You can be bigger than that. You can be better than that if you take on the heart of the Father. Jesus is looking at Matthew, says what? Be my disciple. Side with my party and follow me. And he rose and followed him. Decisions were made that day. And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, Matthew's house, behold, oh my goodness, look at this Godfather. Many, what? Tax collectors and especially wicked sinners came and sat and reclined with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your master eat with tax collectors and those preeminently sinful? Why? But when Jesus heard it, he replied, those who are strong and well have no need of a physician, but those who are weak and sick, what do they need? Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy. That is, readiness to help those in trouble and not sacrifice and sacrificial victims. For I came not to call and invite to repentance the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with God, but sinners, the erring ones, and all those not free from sin. So Jesus came, and the Father's heart is visible in the compassion that he gives to these tax collectors and their sinner friends. How many know the enemy has lots of people, and they're all in love with themselves? Now, of course, I don't have any of that left. Yeah. Well, sometimes that's what we think, right? We've got a lot of that left. Every time your selfish motivation on serving number one is present, you better realize you've got a little more that's got to go. See, the Lord's love cannot be built in you until you decide to let him have his way in spite of what you feel, in spite of what you think. The emotions will dramatically hurt you. Are they bad? No, they just need conversion. They need to be changed. That's what repentance is all about. And in fact, I was praying with someone this morning, and I reminded them that the word repentance is changing my mind. So turn and look at somebody and say, today you can repent by changing your mind. It's not the going with the boo-hoos and cry and all. We did some of that, by the way. But the boo-hoos come automatically if you're under that anointing. But if you're trying to produce them to make somebody look like they really repented, you know, they got the boo-hoos, they really have gone into a dramatic scene, and now they look like they really are sorrowful, and then I might consider forgiving them. Jesus forgives them beforehand. Amen? He wipes away their sin beforehand. He says, I'll take away even the guilt of your sin beforehand. I'm going to erase it. I'm going to not remember what you've done wrong. That's a father's love. I'm not going to recall everything you did 20 years ago, you picked on me. 5 years ago, you stepped on my right toe. Those of you who didn't hear that, he said, wait till you see what's coming. Retaliation. How do we respond with the thoughts of retaliation? Give them up. Let Jesus' his Father's heart come alive in you. Let the compassionate heart be formed in you. It's a process. It takes time. You need to be able to say, okay, God, I didn't do it right this time. But my old nature is stronger than I care to talk about. How many know what I'm talking about, the old nature? Okay. That's the sin nature, the attitudes, all the judgmental, critical voices that really push your buttons. Don't let those rule your heart. Because if you do, you're going to have a problem. The Father's heart won't be able to flow through your heart. The Father's love will be stifled. And the Holy Spirit is not going to push you to make it happen. He will nudge you gently, like a little tap on the shoulder. And he'll remind you, without hurting you, maybe there's a better way. Maybe there's a better response. Maybe there's a word that says, by my example, you'll see the Father's heart. By my giving of myself, you'll begin to see what you can do rather than what you've chosen so far. When I went to the funeral yesterday, the three boys gave testimony about their mom. And then I heard the second one and the third one relate about the part that the other had played in releasing grace and mercy and love to the mother when she had needs, to their circumstances which were sometimes difficult. And then I saw them give compassion to each other. There was more of the love of God inside of these men than in many teachers and preachers. Now, do they go to church? I don't know. It's not my business. But what I did see is the love flowing out of them that had been imparted to them from their father and their mother, and it was being released into a willing and recipient servants, men and women. And yes, I pray that they were changed, because I remember being asked by the pastor, are you going to participate? And I said, no, I'm here to just support. So I will do. And so he came over and he says, the person that's going to be ministering with me has only been ordained 2 weeks, and this is their first funeral. So here, would you mind interceding for that person? And I said, I'm glad to be here for that purpose. If that's what the reason that I came, I'd be glad to do that. It happened to be a lady pastor, and she was quite tense. She made a few mistakes. We didn't look at the mistakes. We saw the love of God in her, giving it out to those that were wounded and had lost their mom. What am I saying? I saw the Father's heart. I saw the heart of love flow through these boys. And then I saw it flow to each other. And I said, this is God. Because you see, there were two marriages. Two brothers from one father and the other, the youngest, from a different father. And yet God put a flow of love inside of that situation that was actually wonderful to watch. You say, did it touch the kids? I would say it touched them, but they don't know the fruit yet. How many know you've been touched sometimes and you have no idea what God has done? And it's like 10 years down the road, and God will remind you by His Spirit, do you remember what happened at that particular time? Many years ago, the man who brought me up, that I called dad all my life lost one of his very dear sisters. And she lived in Montreal, and I went to the funeral, and I was with my sister-in-law, who just passed away this winter. And this would have been my half-sister. We had the same dad, but not the same mom. Her mom died when she was maybe 5 or 6. My dad, the one that brought me up, was 2. And she had written a letter with her own handwriting and pressed one of her daughters to read it from the pulpit. And it was a letter from their mother. And the father had passed away several years before. So she was speaking for both mom and dad. And it was a love letter. And she described each child by name. And their little innuendos, their little weaknesses were identified. So they would have a clue that it was personal, just for you. The letter was 5 or 6 pages long, written on both sides. There was an intense prayer at the end. And the prayer was that someday they would fall in love with their real father. That they would taste of the glorious majesty of a father who would give up his child so that others could live. That impacted my life. And I came out of that service changed because of my half-sister, whom I had never known. In my natural understanding, she was the aunt. She was the one that shared one of her daughters with me and lived with us in the farm in Canada when she was pregnant and about to deliver. So mom took one of her daughters in, and her and I are the same age, and we still connect, and we have a very, very special time together. She's also the one that has been like a half-sister to me. And we've been tied together ever since that summer. She was probably 8, and I was probably 7. But I never forgot that intense summer with a little sister that I never had. So you see, the impact that you will have may not be known today, may not be understood today, but the investment of the Father's love coming out of your heart to those that God tells you to give will impact their life. It will impact their life because they'll understand what Father's Day means. You see, I have 3 fathers. One that couldn't handle me, decided to give me away before I was born, just to be able to survive the pressure that he was living in. And for a season in my life, long season, I held him accountable, not knowing it, because I never got to know him. The second father was my half-brother, and some of you know that story as well, and I don't want to go into the details, but I'm letting you know that he had so many hurts that alcohol became his best buddy. And for many years, alcohol was the tool God used to keep him so that he could survive and become born again later on in his life. And yes, he did accept the Lord. And yes, he was dramatically changed. And yes, he was freed up. And yes, he fell in love with me all over again. And I fell in love with him. But then God took him home. And for a season, I struggled with that. How many have struggled with daddies that are gone on the other side? Yeah. Or not doing maybe what they should have done or could have done. Well, I've got news for you. They're under construction just like you. They're not perfect yet. And if you think you're perfect, we'll talk about it someday. What I'm getting at is, I was introduced to my Heavenly Father. And I had a distorted picture of real fathers. My understanding of a father was what I understood of a natural dad. So I literally grafted that truth to my Heavenly Father. But that's in the scripture, not what's visible. The real father's heart is visible in Christ. The real compassionate father is okay with sinners. God, you guys are slow. Look at your neighbor and say, God is not having a problem with sinners. Maybe I am. And I got to get over it. Amen. If he has no problem with the mafia type, that should give you a clue. Well, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to change your mind? Are you going to repent? The problem you had with sinners has got to go. The problem with the compassionate heart. The Lord says, I desire mercy. Oh, you mean I got to give mercy to that SOB? Yes. Male or female, doesn't matter. Yes, you got to give it. If you really claim to be a believer, you better start acting out of the Father's heart. Close your eyes, put your hand over your heart. Father, today, I want you to repeat. Father, today, I need to see more of my Father's heart. My Heavenly Father's heart. Pouring out of me. And it starts with the sinners. The sinners in my own house first. The neighborhood, the city, the state, the country, the world, all of them, they need to see the merciful heart of Jesus that comes from His Father by the Holy Ghost inside of me, flowing out constantly, not part-time, full-time. In Jesus' name. You made the confession. Are you now going to do it? Say, by grace, I'm going to do it. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Say, by grace, we're going to do it. We're going to give out love. We're going to give out compassion. And we're going to give out mercy. Because He never fails. Amen. And amen. Gentlemen, happy Father's Day. Ladies, happy Father's Day.